Stormzy and Crown on RT Radio 1. And joined now by the authors of a new book for young adults called Cursed Crown. That's why you play that, you see. It's a sequel to Twin Crowns, which was a runaway success. There are two Catherines, Catherine Doyle and Catherine Webber. They're best friends. They're also sister-in-laws. And the book is about two sisters separated at birth. A theme is emerging here. And the first Catherine is called Cat.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're from Connemara.
Barna.
Just on the fringes of Connemara.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Oh, look at that. And the second Catherine is called Katie, and you're from California.
Yes. Currently based in London. Don't hold it against me. Ireland. I love coming to Ireland, though.
She's embarrassing you already. You're going, what? So Cursed Crowns is the second, it's sequel to Twin Crowns. And it says at the start of it, break the ice to free the curse, kill one twin to save another.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dark and exciting.
as is your story. So we have to get to the bottom of this because it's mad stuff. So you're with the same agent.
Yes.
Yes, Katie. And you met at some sort of soiree, was that it?
Yes, exactly. Before I'd ever met Kat, I'd read her book and I thought she was a brilliant writer. And then I met her at a party and basically just wanted to immediately befriend her. And our friendship kind of escalated to the point that I decided I wanted to introduce her to my brother. And then they got engaged. So all delightful. And then we decided to write this book together. Now it's become, you know, a bestseller in multiple countries. And so it's worked out pretty well, I think.
That's the whole story. She's not Irish, obviously.
She's never this brief. It's crazy. That's pretty basically it. Katie and I write independently our own sort of kids books. And we met. And it was that thing when you meet someone in your kind of 20s and you're like, oh my gosh, like a soul friend.
Yeah.
The next logical step for me was to marry her brother.
Of course.
Obviously, I like just escalating it straight away. And then during the pandemic, really, Katie called me up and we both had other deadlines, as we always do. And she said, I really want to write something fun and uplifting that's going to make people laugh, but it's going to make us laugh. And, you know, we share a lot of the same taste. We love like Princess Bride. We love kind of a lot of comedy, romance, sweeping adventure.
Yeah.
And so once we started sort of spitballing back and forth, it just sort of became the most fun ever planning this book.
So there's twin sisters separated at birth.
Yes.
Rose is the lovely pink princess type person.
Yes.
Stereotypical.
Yeah.
And then Wren is a witch.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Who writes who?
So I actually write the witch, cynical.
Right. Okay.
Wren is a little bit more cynical and sarcastic. She's the twin that Rose, nobody knows about. She's sort of waiting in the wings to sneak back in and steal Rose's life.
Okay.
And she's, so she's kind of an outlaw in a way and is kind of, a little bit more cynical and sarcastic, which lends, I think, you'll see Katie's more idealistic. And
we knew pretty much from the start, we knew we wanted a princess and a witch. And just immediately Kat was like, well, I'll write the witch. And I was like, and I'll write the princess. And it was really fun leaning into a lot of the tropes, as you say, you know, kind of a cliche of that, like, pink princess, and she's quite spoiled, and but you know she has a big journey throughout, you know, both emotionally and quite literally. But I think what was so nice about having two distinct perspectives is we were able to make the characters feel really distinct. And ideally, we want like readers to come to it and to be able to connect with one character or the other. A lot of time in young adult fiction, you'll kind of have like, you know, a character who's really good at fighting, and you know, kind of maybe like a Katniss from Hunger Games, and Wren is more like that. But we also wanted to show like, you know, the strength and kind of like a, you know, feminine strength. Maybe the Rose kind of shows a little bit more.
And the dialogue between the two characters, there's a lovely spark there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't giving too much away, but in Twin Crowns, Rose and Wren, they do meet eventually after Wren steals Rose's life. And they have this sort of big showdown, if you will. And we got to write that together. We wrote a lot of it separately because of the pandemic, but we happened to be together during that scene. So we method acted our way. We were yelling at each other across the table and really getting into the mind of these sisters.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was, I think, the most fun.
And it's
obviously
a joy to write.
Fantasy fiction. Because you told your story in 30 seconds flat. I want to go back and tease it out a little bit. Okay.
She's never done that before. It's wild. I know.
Okay. You know, wanted to make sure we all knew where we were at.
Setting the scene.
So you befriended each other at a soiree. We got there, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you had this brother, Jack.
Yes.
Who you're very fond of.
Yes, we're very close.
Protective of.
Yup, absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So you had certain notions about the person he should marry.
Oh, of course. And, you know, and Kat and I had actually started as a joke. We were on a writing retreat together and she was like, oh, your brother's so cute. And I was like, she was like, what if we dated? And I laughed, but I was like, haha, I love this idea.
It was never a joke to me, Ray. That was called inception.
And it worked out. So, you know, I knew Kat very well. I've also met her whole family, who I adored. And, you know, I felt like I had pre-vetted everyone.
So you did a recce?
Oh, absolutely.
It was not subtle. It was not subtle at all. My mom was like, who is this girl? Why is she interviewing us all?
No, and it worked out. So, you know, and of course, I think the thing go ahead.
What I'm intrigued by is, like, it's high risk strategy here, isn't it? Because if it all went belly up, pear-shaped, then you have your writing partner and you've fallen out.
Well, we
hadn't written together quite yet. We did, okay. But also crucially, both Jack and Kat are both good humans. I knew neither of them would do something to like purposefully hurt the other one. So I was like, if things fizzle out or it doesn't work out, you know, it'll be okay. I really trusted in both of the goodness of their hearts.
We didn't start writing together until Jack and I were engaged. Yeah. So okay. There was some assurance there. And then we thought, we'll do the book.
It is intriguing, you know, from somebody looking in. So you had this notion, you met her, you befriended her, lovely person, lovely human. You had this other human in your life, your brother, and you thought they might make a match.
Yes.
Okay. So
my brother was living in California at the time.
How do you broach that? What do you say?
So I was in London for work and a work trip. Jack was visiting Katie from California, also in London. We all went for drinks. It went terribly.
I was actively mad at my brother. I was like, I introduced you to this amazing person, and he just got a bit shy and awkward.
He was just really nervous and quiet. Okay. I found it endearing, actually. Oh. I reached out to him, and then we really hit it off from that way. And then we...
Did you know that Katie... You know, had thought this through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was like, "What if you get married and have babies? It'll be amazing." Yeah. It felt high risk to me too, Ray. It still feels high risk to me, and we're married. But I think we never put any pressure on ourselves. We were really just having fun, and Jack is like the most laid back person ever. So it was just kind of fun, and then we all met up in sort of France, and then we did long distance for 2 years. And looking back, it definitely sounds crazier than what it felt like at the time.
Right.
But
okay.
I don't think we ever put too much pressure on ourselves until he moved to Ireland.
And I'd say the wedding speeches were good, were they? Or?
Katie referred to herself correctly as the architect of the wedding.
Right. I was very, very smug. It felt like just this culmination. I was like, I'm so happy. Two of the people I love most in the world, and I have brought them together.
That was exactly what it was like.
Kat and I are very entangled now. We were like, you know what? We were already best friends. Now we're family. Now let's be writing partners and just be, you know, super entangled.
Right. There's no other level, I think.
I really do hope it works out for
it is so good.
It
is working out. Because I'm fascinated by this, Will. I'm intrigued by the effect that TikTok has had on book sales.
Yeah.
And your sort of testament to how successful it's been.
Yeah, I mean, TikTok embraced Twin Crowns and Curse Crowns in a big way. And it's incredible. Like every day there's loads more videos going up of people reading it and reacting to it and loving it. It's been really special.
So how does it work? Do people do reviews or what?
All sorts. People will do, you know, they'll do unboxing, showing themselves opening the book. They will say, here is a sped up version of me. I'm reading Twin Crowns all day. And they just, you know, do a whole video showing themselves reading it. They do, you know,
so,
costumes.
Hold on. Sorry. You'll have to stop there. You'll have to stop there. So people watch videos of people reading books.
Yes.
Are they actually reading it out loud?
No, they'll do
it's like a montage.
A montage of them reading it.
In the afternoon or something reading.
Them pouring their tea, them opening the book. And then they'll say 2 hours later, now I'm on page. And they will literally track their reading progress. Because it's this huge
book. And people watch that.
People watch it.
Oh, yeah. And they'll dress up as the princess or the witch. They'll say their favorite quotes.
I can understand that.
Or they do what I love is when they'll do, some people do like a montage of like other existing kind of artwork or video stills. And they'll be like, these are the vibes of Twin Crowns and Cursed Crowns. And they'll put them to music.
They do a sort of a mood board.
Exactly.
Exactly. Right. Or even a short film.
And is there fan fiction then?
Oh, you know, that's a good... There's a lot of fan art. We had a lot
Not
of fan art. We
right.
love fan art. I haven't seen fan fiction.
Right. That's coming, I suppose.
It might already be about.
So then, because I noticed in the one of the bookshops I go into at the weekend that they have a TikTok stand. These are all books that are big on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, have you any idea of how it has increased your sales? Like, is it like 10 times, 20 times, or?
I mean, I'd love to think it was 100. It's hard. It's really hard to quantify. We know that it does very well. It's very big on TikTok, particularly in the UK. It's a big, both books are big bestsellers in the UK. We're sure that that's definitely part of it. Okay. We throw a lot of coronation balls. as launches, and they have huge turnout. They sell out straight away, and that's kind of a big feature.
And I think it's because people want to, you know, a lot of our readers want to feel like pretend they're a princess or pretend they're a magical witch. You know, we're really tapping into that kind of wish fulfillment. Like, you know, do you remember when you loved Disney movies when you were younger? Where, like, even if you're like a teenager now or in your 20s or, you know, older, you know, we're trying to capture some of that feeling in the book and in the events.
Curse Crowns, Sisters United, A Kingdom Divided. Catherine Doyle and Catherine Webber, or Kat and Katie, thank you very much. And good luck at the book. And great to see and hear your story.
Thank you.
That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back tomorrow with Shay Byrne, and I'm back on Monday. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening. Press the button there.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.